She looked so proud of herself, and because of that, I likely will not forget an afternoon this past spring in which my dog Amelia decided to bring me a gift. It was one of our first warm spring days when the dogs both decided that they wanted to go outside and spend an extended period of time outside. So I opened the door to call for them, and as I was standing on the top of the back porch, yelling for them to come in, I turned to the right just as Amelia came trotting up to the door. Her ears were cocked at attention, and her eyes were huge with excitement. As my eyes traveled down from her ears and eyes and moved toward her mouth, I could see that there was a very, very dead squirrel in her mouth. Not only was the squirrel dead, but I could tell by its appearance that she had not been the one to kill it. She just looked so proud of herself, like she was coming to bring me a gift. Instead of being happy to receive such a gift, my brain was traveling to all of the possibilities of how the squirrel had died. I wondered if it had been a natural death, or if it was something else like poison or disease, and if Amelia, who firmly had the squirrel entrenched in her mouth, was in danger of being exposed to something that could make her sick or kill her. As my brain processed all of these possibilities, my mouth said, "Drop it." And she did. I was relieved to discover that perhaps when it meant the most, the training that I did with Amelia as a puppy, which she often just seemed to ignore, was still very much a part of her being. And that in that moment, she trusted me enough to do what I said, which is what I have been thinking about this week as I have read through this text from Deuteronomy. I could not help but think about how my relationship with Amelia, the love that I have for her and her love for me, helped her to trust the boundaries that I had created for her, to trust that I know what is best for her. Likewise, it is because of God's love for us and our love for God that helps us trust the boundaries that God has created for us, boundaries that we find in part in the Ten Commandments. This morning's text is the second time that we have encountered this list of rules from God, the Ten Commandments. It's a list of rules that not only ensure the safety of all, but also set us free. They aren't only there to confine us or to unnecessarily limit us. Instead, they are created out of love, just as the Ten Commandments were created to set the Israelite people free. The Israelite people were, if you remember, originally enslaved in the land of Egypt, and they were freed from slavery to then find themselves out in the wilderness struggling how to figure out how to be a people. But not only did they struggle to figure out how to be a people, they also struggled to find the basic necessities of life, food and water. So they ultimately complain against Moses and Aaron until they discover that it is God who provides what they need. Then came the point when God declared God's intentions for them by giving them the Ten Commandments, commandments that were first recorded in the book of Exodus shortly after the people had been released from slavery. But by now, when we get to this morning's reading in Deuteronomy, the people have been wandering the desert for an entire generation. And Moses is surrounded not just by the people, or not by the people who he left Egypt with, but instead their children. People who have not directly known the slavery that their parents experienced. People who do not remember what it was like to leave slavery and then walk across a river with dry feet. People who do not remember the miracle of the Exodus, nor recall the giving of the covenant that God made with them. Which is probably why Moses begins with these words. "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn them and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today." Not only are these rules God's intentions for Israel, both those who originally left Egypt and then those who are alive while Moses is addressing them now, But they're also God's intentions for us, those of us who are alive now. It is a covenant that has been made with us, with rules to keep us safe and to set us free, free to be the people that we are meant to be, especially when these rules are created out of love, not oppression. Which is why God starts these Ten Commandments with, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. It is as if to say, I am your God, not Pharaoh or the slave drivers who only used you for the labor that you could provide, not the sea that threatened to take your life or the wilderness that made you question your freedom. I am your God, not Moses who you followed out of Egypt or Aaron to whom you have listened. I am your God, not any other person among you, not even you. I am the Lord, your God. Nobody else is. And you shall have no other gods before me, because no one else can love you like I love you. No one can provide for you like I provide for you. I am the Lord, your God. And now I think this morning God is also saying, I am the Lord, your God, not your boss, or even the company that issues your paycheck, not the bank that holds your mortgage, or the bank that holds the title to your car, not the food that you will eat this afternoon, nor the water that you'll drink, not your husband, not your wife, not your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fiance. I am the Lord your God, not the coach of your children or grandchildren's sports teams, or even your commanding officer. Money, security, and family are not your gods either. And neither is death. I am the Lord your God, not anybody else. Because nobody can love you the way that I love you. Nobody else can provide as I can. Nobody. I am the Lord your God. And because I am the Lord your God, you shall remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You shall work 6 days and then rest on the seventh, because you're not a machine. You need to rest. You will not be good for any of the work that you do if you don't rest, if you don't take a day off, if you don't vacation, if you don't sleep at night. I am the Lord, your God, who gives you rest. I am the Lord, your God, who puts you in community because you cannot do it on your own. So honor your father and your mother, care for them as they age, and make sure that they know you love them. Do not kill each other, not with knife or gun, but not with words either. I am the Lord your God who loves you, who wants you to live with one another, loving each other. I want you to be able to trust each other. So don't commit adultery or steal from each other. I am the Lord your God who forms and shapes you, giving you rules to live by because I want you, all of you, to have the best life possible. And we can only do that together, with me, the Lord your God, and nobody else. I trust that, like, what I want for Amelia is best because I love her. God wants what is best for us as well. And that God doesn't just want what is best for those of us who are here right now, but God wants what is best for all of creation, for all who are alive today. These rules set us free. They teach us how to be a people, how to be people of God, people who are loved by God, loved enough to have been created rules and boundaries that help create safety and freedom for us, rules that live in our very being in the way that Drop It lives in Amelia's very way and being. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, because God has already loved us and always will.